Welcome back, everybody. The 2025 NFL season is here. It all kicks off, and we're going to give you all the details you need to know about your team, the New Orleans Saints. A complete preview and breakdown of everything that I think you'll need to know and that you may want to know. This is our 2025 season preview, our best case scenario, worst case scenario, and a little preview on the actual schedule. Let's go ahead and get to the intro, and welcome to this episode of Keeping It True by You Saints. And without further ado, look, it was a offseason that had every twist and turn you could think of, a quarterback battle that the franchise hasn't seen the likes of in many years, and it's finally all brought us to this point, the beginning of the 2025 season for the New Orleans Saints. And it's one that a lot of fans know what the outcome will be, one where extreme change takes place, a changing of the guard, the roster, the culture, all in one time, and it's going to have some effects on this team. We can't pretend like changing your coach and pretty much everything except the GM and front office is not going to affect this team. So I have a best case scenario that I'll go ahead and spoil it for you. Does not include the Saints making the playoffs. Shocker. And a worst case scenario that has a much different outlook for the Saints. And by the way, we also have our floor prediction, which is if things go really, really bad. Not to mention, you know, this is not an episode to take shots at anybody. This is just sort of a more realistic thought process on how the season would go and what scenarios would bring it to those different results. So let's start on the best case scenario. Look, I have the best case scenario for the New Orleans Saints at 7-10. Now, not a great season by any means, but a little bit better than what's predicted. You see there on the graphic this week, we currently had the Vegas odds somewhere in the ballpark of 4-5 wins for the team, depending on where you're looking. And that's been pretty consistent all through the preseason and leading up into the 2025 season. And if you were to exceed that, even by just a couple games, definitely not putting yourself in a playoff position in the loaded NFC, but it would showcase that plans were put in place, they were executed, and that there is a slight sign that the team is ahead of schedule in a rebuild. And with the front office finally showing willingness to admit that it is a rebuild, with the way how particularly you see the roster management took place following the 53-man roster announcement, it looks like Mickey Loomis is finally starting to see that, hey, he can't just keep the same core together. There may need to make major changes. And one of those things, of course, did come down to how he wants to go about using his quarterback. It seems like Kellen Moore was given pretty much free rein to do it however he wanted, and that's why he didn't see the forcing of a first-round pick in someone like Tyler Shuck getting named starter. Spencer Rattler played his best game. It was good enough. The team saw what he did in practice, liked it there, and said, you will be our starter despite the fact you're spending your highest pick on a quarterback in the pretty much franchise history except for Archie Manning. So an interesting move nevertheless, and just some of the things that I think are going to be critical to getting to this 7-10 mark. Rattler has to take advantage of the fact that this team has a relatively easy opening. Three of the first five teams could be subpar, with one of them being a major toss-up in San Francisco. Arizona is a team that, while played very competitively last year, does not show that they are taking the next step to become a potential even, you know, division contender in a serious way, much less a playoff or Super Bowl contender. So that's a team that still has a lot of questions, and you can take advantage of it in moments like this, wherever everyone's on a little bit of a more even playing field and everyone has to play more to their fundamentals because the season has not shook itself out all the way yet. I think that's something to where if Spencer Rattler can take advantage of that, whatever might be going on in San Francisco at the time, whenever they come in week two, and then week five, potentially the only toss-up game of the year where you're really confident the Saints may not be the underdog, and that is against the New York Giants, a team that is also in a deep rebuild state, but they do have Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So a little bit to see if that's going to be a walk in the park or not, but I think if Spencer can go and just take two of those three, you're going to lose on the road, most likely in Seattle and in Buffalo, two extremely difficult road matchups that thank goodness are in September and not in December, or it would be a pretty rough time for the travel from the hot environment in New Orleans up to those, you know, very frigid climates, but you're getting them at the best time of the year you can on the calendar. I just don't think the team has enough to be able to take those. Beyond that, you're going to go through a rough patch. Middle of the season is not pretty. As I just check a little bit of the roster here, I mean, you're facing Bucks, Rams, Panthers, Falcons, Dolphins. Some of those teams a little bit better than others, obviously, but those are not going to be teams that are fading in the middle of the season that are out of the playoff race by any means. Those are going to be teams that are pushing, that are really trying to get ahead, and that's whenever you could see the Saints record go from maybe something that's more favorable in the beginning of the year, like 2-3, down to somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, anywhere from 2-8 to maybe a 3-7. And by that point, you can clearly tell the playoffs are going to be a hard stretch, if not impossible, and that's when sometimes the teams begin to fall apart. But I don't necessarily see that being the case in this best case scenario, because basically it would be a situation where the Saints remain competitive with all these teams. The Saints do not fall away early in games and fail to score. The offense is alive. The defense does the best it can with what resources it has. But ultimately you do have some weak points, and we'll talk about that in the worst case scenario. But a situation to where, again, this offense starts to show some life. The Kellen Moore system is working. You can see where changes need to be made, and that can be addressed via draft class and free agency. And at that point, you would be able to then have, by the end of the year, with a little bit of an ease in the schedule, potentially you'll have another NFC South mate that's knocked out of the playoffs. You play two teams there in the month of mid-December all the way through to January and week 18, Carolina, New York, Tennessee, and Atlanta, another chance to get maybe two wins in that back end of the season. And I think that's the point where you'll really start to see what this team looks like going forward, not just necessarily in the immediate future in 26, but what has Kellen Moore's system done to the team over the course of an entire year. And that's one thing that I think in this scenario, you may pick up maybe as many as three of those teams in the victory column. And that could definitely put you in a position to where you are finishing, again, in my best case scenario, somewhere in the ballpark of 7-10. A couple good win streaks here or there, but whenever you play the difficult teams, there's a clear difference, and you'll be able to address those needs at the time. So in a situation where the season is a maybe worst case scenario for the franchise as far as fans go, a best case scenario could show that there is a future out there for some of these players and that they will be stepping up into major franchise leading roles going into the following year. By the way, if you're enjoying this so far, don't forget the subscribe button, follow button, if you're over on any of our other platforms in YouTube. They're all there, and they all miss you. They want you to go ahead and give them a click. Let them know that you're enjoying the show and what you're thinking so far. What is your best-case scenario for the Saints team? It's a kind of shot in the dark, but you know, whenever we get deeper into the worst-case scenario and then all the way when we predict the wins, I really think my prediction says something that maybe some of you will not agree with. But let's go ahead and continue on. Don't forget, also like and, again, subscribe and follow. Worst case scenario tells me an entirely different situation of what this season would look like. Basically, not entirely even the opposite in a pure sense, but say, for instance, you have Spencer Rattler go and he starts 1-5, 0-6, you know, worst case scenario. Kellen Moore says, I've seen enough. I want to get my other young player a chance to get some reps. And then you send Tyler Shuck out there and he goes 0-8 or he goes 1-7. And now you're looking at a situation to where the season is very clearly not going to be very redeemable. And it's going to be a struggle to get a win in those final four games, as we had mentioned previously. At that point, you know, you're basically just rotating quarterbacks based on who's not throwing the most interceptions. And it really would show that neither of these guys are quite ready, if not, you know, maybe in the longer trajectory, going to be ready to lead a team for a full season as a mainline starter in the NFL. It's not as easy as it looks. Kellen Moore's be the first one to tell you that it's not a promise, but a opportunity. And if these guys simply cannot live up to the opportunity, I believe the Saints would go in a different direction, given the available draft classes there. So in this worst case scenario, I have the New Orleans Saints going 2-5, which would be the worst season that the team has seen in recent history. You think even some of those worst teams that you saw in 05, for instance, three-win teams, I think it would be a situation where you'd be looking at something that was visually on the field worse football than some of those three-win teams and others of the sort since, you know, the late 90s, mid-2000s. And I think at this point, if you end up having the entire conclusion from the fan base being, okay, it's not going to be Shuck, it's not going to be Rattler, I can't do this for another year, that would be a situation where you see a major disconnect between the fan base and the team. A lot of teams, you know, they talk about, okay, I'm going to start doing poorly and my fans will go away. New Orleans has such a unique culture in the way how we, you know, as a Bayou region, cheer for these teams. We're never going to go away necessarily, but we will certainly go dormant. And that would be something that I think would be the worst case. You know, just very little hope on the horizon. In this case, you would be essentially dealing with Kellen Moore sort of starting to seem as though he may not be up for the task, although the task is incredibly difficult and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. If that sentiment starts to seep into the fan base, my goodness, it could become very difficult to see how this team progresses in 2026, 2027 from that point. And that would be, I believe, the worst case scenario, truly. You know, you look at this defensive lineup, you still have folks like Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, even some of your younger core pieces that are now getting older in a Justin Reed. You know, these guys are not going to be the next generation Saints player. Cam Jordan is not going to be here in 4 years, and you expect him to go be the best defensive player in the league. So if you have anybody on this roster that is going to get to that type of a performance, you think about a Danny Stutzman, you think about even if it is Chase Young showing that, hey, I'm not that old, I have a lot left in the tank, the injuries did delay me, but I'm still here. All the way down to somebody such as a Brian Brzee, who I think as a defensive end, if you can see him take a leap, that would be a major step. But, you know, it's not promised. But one of these guys has to show the core is going to be okay. The young core is not entirely rotted from within. Same thing on the offensive line. Look, if you get into a situation like this where neither quarterback is having a lot of fun, it's going to hurt your offensive line. Just has been the correlation here so far. And, you know, correlation is not even causation. I'll give you that, sure. But again, 2-5, if you lose one or two more offensive linemen where you already have, again, I'm going to make this clear, you already have 4 offensive linemen on IR. If you were to add a potential 5th or 6th, the depth in this team would be entirely out of whack. And, you know, you would be setting yourself up for a really difficult task to see who's even, you know, in play to put back in that type of a starting role after you had the same situation happen with Derek Carr, where the offensive line was banged up and then you put in a sacrificial lamb effectively. You know, if you did that twice, my goodness, I couldn't imagine doing it. And then thrice if you put Shuck in the same situation as Rattler. So, yeah, definitely not the way you want it to go. And then, you know, little last piece here, and I don't go too deep into this because I think it is hyperbole, but it is possible, and that would be a floor of 1-16 for the New Orleans Saints, with the one victory most likely coming against either New York or Tennessee. In this situation, or a fluke win at some point between someone else that had no idea how it happened. But look, the Saints only win one game in 2025. Kellen Moore will not have an easy summer. He will not have an easy transition. Mickey Loomis will be the joke of the organization, and really the calls for his departure will be exemplified. And, you know, I don't know if the team could survive going and not just like a permanent survival, but in a momentary survival. I don't think the culture that was brought on by the Breeze era, by the Chapa style era, where you had everybody in the dome feeling excited, alive, if that's not able to be replicated in any sense, and you go into just a half-empty Superdome to end the season, man, you're going to have a couple years to rebuild that dormant base. Like I said, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to change teams. They're not all of a sudden going to become Cowboys or Falcons fans. But, I mean, they will, for lack of better terms, put their head in the mud and say, I'm not listening. Tell me whenever you have a winner again. And that's the way how a lot of the fan bases go. And if you can't control that as an organization, then, you know, you're missing a step for sure. But, like I said, that's a floor. It's not something to really get too worked up about, but certainly something to think about. And last but not least, of course, I give you my prediction. I have 5-12 for this New Orleans Saints team. I think you have the potential to get right there in 6, right there at 4. Particularly with 6, I think, you know, one or two of these games are toss-ups in the way that you would expect a non-conventional ending. I think about the Miami game. I think about the Chicago game against the Bears. Remember, that is at Chicago, like a wind, for instance. Saints could be driving. Blake Groupie hits a kick off the upright. And, you know, you lose a game that you would otherwise have had the opportunity to go out there and win. So, you know, it may not be the worst looking 5-12 team of all time, but in that scenario, you would hope that you're again picking top 10, ideally maybe even top 8, and you have to build very quickly from there. You look at the Saints, you know, their draft picks. They gave up a 4th to get Devon Vele from the Denver Broncos. The Patriots own the 7th in the Devon Godshaw trade, as I'm just reading through. Again, the Broncos own the 27th. So while you're not worried too much about 7th-round picks usually, that 4th-rounder could really hurt. That's where you would want to be putting somebody who would develop into a future starter for your team. And if they're just simply not going to be there, it's another gap that has to be filled. Overall, I'm still excited. I'm still looking forward to football. I certainly don't wait this long every year, fill out the fantasy lineups, and you know, research new recipes to bring out to the tailgate for football not to excite me. I hope it excited you all today here on this episode of Keeping It True by You Saints. Don't forget, please, in the comments below, give us your season prediction. You know, what do you think the Saints are going to do this year? How do you think it's going to turn out? I'm excited to hear from it. I hope that you all, you know, have a lively discussion down there. And of course, we will see you here on the next episode of Keeping It True by You Saints. Thanks for watching, everybody, and a hoodat to the whole Hoodat Nation. This has been a True by You Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True by You Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.